everybody. Welcome to Sunday School. It's a place where real Christians ought to be, right? Amen. Sunday School. Get fed to help. Prepare themselves for the work the Lord has for them. Amen. Well, let's start this morning by taking up the offering. Brother Bruce Ryder, if you'll come and pray too then, brother.
This morning, Father, that we receive that which we are needed for us
now. Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Everybody got a handout this morning? There's some back here. If you don't have one, we'll send somebody around with one. Either way, Brother Martin is only too happy to help there, aren't you, brother? You got them all fixed up. Good deal. Well, this morning's class, and again, I just really have a hard time getting started. I'm not just quite sure how to get this thing rolling. And if the Lord comes along, then I don't have to worry about it rolling, because it'll roll right along. But as you see on your handout, you'll see that the name of the class, or the title of the class, is Am I Ready? Am I Ready? Oh, I need to acknowledge our visitors. We have some visitors. Rebecca, Sister Rebecca, it's good to have you. Sister Stephanie is not a visitor, but she is back. Good to have her back, always. And, of course, I think, Brother Matt, this is the first time in Sunday School for a while in an adult class, so glad to have you this morning. Amen. Well, am I ready? Now, several weeks ago, Brother Streeter was teaching, and we had some visitors. And I walked past, and I heard the man say to the woman, well, that was a little bit more like a sermon rather than Sunday School. Now, I wasn't teaching at that time. I don't think it was negative what he was saying. He was just saying that it seemed more like the delivery, if you will, was a sermon or preaching. I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that was a bad comment. That's not what it was at all. He was just stating how he received the Sunday School class. Well, if there ever was a time when a Sunday School class seemed like a sermon, it'll be this morning. Just so you know ahead of time, okay? It's not that I'm just trying to push something off or trying to dump something on you folks or preach because I don't have any other outlet. It's not like that at all. It's just that's how it kind of came on me this last week and a half. The Lord just was really dealing with me about making sure, am I ready? Amen. Don't be offended at the delivery, please. If you have a problem, please pray through right now and say, Lord, help me not to get offended at His delivery. Before I ever would think about teaching a class like this on this subject, believe me, I have done some deep soul searching of my own. Yesterday, you know, after the whole traditional Christmas tree thing where we went out and whacked down our thing we'll worship, wait. Our tree that we put up in our house and that we'll put presents under and all that kind of stuff. Doing that traditional thing, I came home and I had a short window of time and I plugged my earphones in and I started to just really get back into this message and tears began to well up in my eyes and I was crying over the fact of, Skip, check it out. Are you ready? Are you ready? And that's what I'm going to teach on this morning is, are you ready? When I first got this message, I was listening to a song. And the Lord started to deal with me so strongly that I had to pull over to the side of the road. And there, in tears and repenting and seeking the face of God, I asked Him, Lord, am I ready should you come today? Am I ready? Well, that seems really negative, and I don't want it to be that way just yet. We're going to get to a negative part, but there's a whole lot of positive before that, and that's what I want to talk about first. The first set of blanks on your handouts are the promises presented. The promises presented. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 through 18. Now, when I was first saved, I was so excited about the coming of the Lord. And not that it's played off, but I've been around a while and it hadn't happened that day and it didn't happen the next day. It's not that I'm not excited about it, I'm just continuing on. I'm keeping on walking. Amen. But when I was so excited about it, I went to my pastor at the time and I said, hey, just any minute the trumpet of the Lord goes out and we'll get out of here. And he said, you sound like a lazy Christian. I was so excited that the trumpet was going to sound and I was going to be taken out, Brother Matt, that hey, I mean, that's what Christians are waiting for and hoping for, isn't it? Isn't it called the blessed hope? Sure it is. And there's nothing wrong with wishing for it to happen. What he was trying to say is, hey, if you have that mindset that you're going to be taken up out of here right now, you're probably not going to be ready for the work that the Lord has. And he explained that later on, and I was glad that he did, because it about threw a curveball down my way, and I didn't know how to handle that. What do you mean we're not supposed to be excited about the coming of the Lord? Amen. We're supposed to be excited about His coming. Amen. Well, let's read these scriptures. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The first promise that's presented here to us is, the second set of blanks, is the promise of His coming. Praise God. The promise of His coming. The promise of His coming is the anchor of our soul. It's the rock, the steadfast rock that we can hang on to, that when we go through trials, hey, it isn't always going to be like this. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to fulfill these scriptures. There's going to be a parting of the eastern sky. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them. We're ever going to be with the Lord. Praise God. It's going to happen. Take me out of here. Lord, take me out of here. Just a second, brother. It's rock. It's our steadfast hope. Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The rapture and the things that transpire after the rapture, they're so good and so wonderful. They're so pure and so holy, so without trouble and trial, so without temptation and tumult in our soul. They are wonderful, the things that are going to happen. And they're going to last forever, praise God. Now, in another place in 2 Corinthians, Paul says there was one that was caught up into heaven and he came back and the things that he saw and that he heard couldn't even be uttered. They were unlawful to utter. In my finite approach this morning to try and get us excited again about the coming of the Lord, I am not going to be able to tell you all of the good things that are going to be on the other side. And some of them, even if I knew them, I couldn't say it. Because they're unlawful. Because they're so wonderful. Amen. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to split the eastern sky. There's a part in that last sentence there in those scriptures in 1 Thessalonians that says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's coming again. He's going to take you and I out of here. Praise God. I'm ready. I want to go. Now, we should be rejoicing about His coming because He promised Himself. Now, even though, like I said earlier, just a few seconds ago, that I've been saved for a while and I haven't seen it, and 2 Peter says that there are going to come in the last days scoffers that say it's not even going to happen. Even though they say that and they're filling biblical prophecy even today, He is going to happen. Jesus said this in His own words. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. Jesus said that. He also said this in John 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. And Paul put it like this in another place. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. Paul also said in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. All these times it's set in stone, if you will. The words of Christ Himself, I'm coming. I'm coming for you. I'm coming to take you with Me. But here Paul says, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, I hope you're not getting bored with the Word, because the Word is our basis for our hope. Now, let's read this, 1 Peter 1:7. And I know I'm going fast, and the reason is I've got a lot of places to go here. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And this, 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:7 says this, and behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, all of those scriptures, all of those promises ought to be doing something in our soul this morning. I can remember, I've jumped at the thought that the trumpet's going to sound. I'm going to be taken up out of here. There was one time I was praying and we were praying about the coming of the Lord and being ready. And my brother said that while we were praying, he said, I saw the heavens open and I was going up through there, defying gravity. I don't know if he had a vision or what he had, but that's what he was telling me. But one of these days, friends, the coming of the Lord and those which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together. And we're going to be with Jesus. Amen. Now, there's just one problem, though. when we get to thinking about the coming, His coming, and how wonderful and how excited we can get over that, and hey, He's coming again, praise God, and I'm going, praise God. There's another promise that's going to take place at that same time for the believers. And it's the promise of a judgment. That's your other blanks there coming down. The promise of a judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says it like this, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Romans 2:16, Paul says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." You see, His coming isn't just about us being caught up together with Him. It's that there is another promise that there is going to be a judgment. Which brings us to our next set of topic, or our next point. The problem posed. The problem. And just like that, that none of us were thinking about the trumpet sounding, just like that on that day, the trumpet, there will be a trumpet sound. And those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up, and it's going to happen just that quick. We're just as unprepared for it as we were for that. Amen. Now that seems kind of negative, but it is the truth. You know, the unsaved, they don't believe that there's going to even be a trumpet. The problem is in the church there are folks that aren't ready for the trumpet. And we need to ask ourselves this question, am I ready? Am I ready? And that is your next set of blanks. That of not being ready. That's the problem that's posed. The first one, that there was promises that were presented. The promise of His coming. Praise God. He's coming again. He's going to take us out of here. Hallelujah. Then there's a promise of a judgment. He is going to have an accounting of the people that call Him Lord. He's going to have an accounting. That judgment. Then that poses a problem for us, a problem posed, and that of not being ready. There's another problem or possible problem that is shown up here as well, and this is your next set of blanks, and that of being a false professor of salvation. A false professor. Professor of salvation. Brother Patrick, let's get that iPod keyed up. On the back of your handout, there's the lyrics to a song that the Overcomers sing. Gold City sings it too. And as Brother Patrick plays it, I want you to look through those songs. Sis, you need a handout? Okay, there's one right here. Your Sister Armstrong, right? Yeah. All right. This is the song that I was listening to when the Lord just really put this on my heart. And I want you to listen to it. I want you to read the words as we go through here. Go ahead, Brother Patrick.
Resounding.
Jesus came the first time to come and bear our sins as our sacrificial lamb, who did he come to? Who did Jesus come to first when he declared, when his ministry was starting? Who did he go to? Didn't he go to the Jews? Weren't the Jews supposed to be God's people? Weren't the Jews supposed to be the ones that were holding the oracles of God and proclaiming truth to the world? And weren't they supposed to be the ones that should have been ready for the coming of the Savior? Sure they should have. They had all that history as you look back across the Old Testament of where God interacted with them in a special, miraculous way. And yet when Christ showed up on the scene, they weren't ready. It's a danger, friend. Brother, sister, it's a danger not to be ready for the rapture. And it can be just as prevalent today as it was when Jesus came the first time. You know, there are people that can tell you exactly when they prayed the first time, the day, the hour, the place, the preacher, the sermon. They can tell you everything about when they gave their life to Christ that are not rapture ready. They're not ready for the trumpet. Oh, Skip, you're judging. No, I'm not. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. They're so deep in sin. I was getting my hair cut the other day. Thanks for commenting how nice it looks. And the barber was telling me about this former Baptist preacher. At least I got most of you to smile. That it was telling me about this former Baptist preacher that I know can take you back to the very place where he confessed Jesus as his Savior, that he was a leader in a church. He used to preach the Word of God, that now is divorced from his wife and owns a tavern. And I know that if you went to him today and asked him, "Are you saved, brother?" You bet I'm ready to go. No, you're not. You're deceived. You're not ready for the rapture. And just as dangerous as it was when Christ came, it can be just that dangerous in our churches today that we're here, we've come together with God's people, and we're not ready should that trumpet sound. Now that's a pretty sobering thought. If you really care about going to heaven, that is a sobering thought. I've asked people, I said, "Hey, have yourself deceived? Do you know it? If you think you're ready for the rapture and you're not, do you, how does God break through that?" It's a dangerous thing to think one thing and then have another be completely true. And there is no place that is more dangerous than in our spiritual relationship with Christ. Because, hey, I read a ton of scriptures where he said, "I am coming again. It's going to happen." Am I ready? And we've got to ask ourselves that question. We've got to ask ourselves in all honesty, laying down all of our preconceived ideas, laying down all of my good works that I've done since I made my profession. I've got to lay all those things down and get to the root of the issue. Am I ready should Christ come again? Just like it was possible for the Jews not to see him and receive him, the Apostle John wrote this down in John 1:11. It says, "He came unto his own, but his own received him not." He came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came to where he should have been accepted, recognized, and revered, and he wasn't. And you know what? That's very possible today. Now, Jesus had some pretty strict things to say to those folks when he showed up. You make the outside all clean and forget about the inside. And you know, if you study Scripture and you have an open heart, you'll go through those Scriptures and you'll find that Jesus never told them that they shouldn't make the outside clean. See, what the modern church does is they say, well, because Jesus rebuked them for having it all on the outside, then we don't have to have anything on the outside. No, that's not true. Go through there. Go through the Scriptures. And you're going to find out that He never condemns them for having the outside clean. Now, He did condemn them for not having the inside clean. And it's called priorities. You've got to have the proper priorities. It's supposed to be inside and then works outside. David said, I am not going to hide your righteousness, Lord, in my heart. I'm going to let it come out. Jesus came to those folks and they should have been ready. They should have been ready for His coming and they weren't. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to two places. One is Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. The other is Luke 13, starting at verse 22. Matthew 7, 21. Luke 13, 22. It is so dangerous to think we're ready for the Lord and not be. Now, these scriptures are familiar to all of us. But in the context of being ready, should He come today? Let's keep them in that context. That trumpet could sound. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now here's a key. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many. I want you to think about that. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And when you stand before Christ, what is it that you want Him to say to you? What is it, Brother Matt? Say it louder. Well done. But for these folks, these false professors, here is what He's going to say to them. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, if we're not ready and the first part or the first promise comes and Jesus splits the eastern skies and we're caught up together with Him, it's possible that then the second part at the final judgment or at the judgment that we're not ready. The first part's going to take place. And we can be ready for the second, but it's possible that we're not. Could you imagine the torment in your soul when He says to you, hey, I never even knew you. You can open the book and go back to when you were baptized, maybe. You can pull out the front of your Bible where it says, hey, I was saved on such and such a day. And yet something happened between then and that trumpet sound where we're not ready. Just in case you didn't know, we don't believe in eternal security like, you know, once saved, always saved. I believe you can be eternally secure. Eternal salvation is by staying ready to go. I believe that. But this scripture is so powerful. I don't know how to put it into words, but He said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart. Not well done. Depart. Ye that work iniquity. Luke 13, 22 through 28, it says this. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? What was the word I stopped on in the other scriptures? Many. Many were that were not going to make it, right? Now here this question is posed, are there few that are saved? That be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now listen, friends, that's a pretty sobering, sobering thought. We need to make sure that we're ready. Amen. I got a bunch of other scriptures here that goes along with that. The possibility of even being called a Christian and not being ready that is coming, because there's something wrong inside. Titus 1:16 says this, they profess that they know God. You ever met anybody in church that was serious about trying to do something that said, hey, I don't believe there's God? No, they profess that they know God. But here's the key, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Ezekiel, there's a possibility that they even come to the house of God. Amen. That's what that says. They profess that they know God. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31 and 32. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, those people that claim to be His. And they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For their mouth, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Matthew 24, 40 through 47. Just like the song brought this up, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Not only in the field, not only at the grinding mill, but the possibility of them being on the same pew. when the trumpet sounds, one being left, one being taken. Now listen, that's a pretty negative note, and I got that. I can tell by the looks on your face, there isn't many people that are smiling this morning. I understand, and I'm not throwing this on you. I'm saying I went through this whole same thing just this week. Knowing that none of us are really that different, that we all should be taking an account of where we are with the Lord, and am I ready? We should be making that assessment. That then there is, and this is your next set of blanks, there is a physician's prescription. Jesus gives us the physician's prescription so that we don't have to be like one of those false professors, that we don't have to be like those that weren't ready when He came. We can be ready. Amen. And that's the last one. Be ready. Now, I don't know if all of you, if you noticed yet or not, but all of my points started with the same letter, and I hope that helps you remember them. There are some other ones here that I got after I printed out the handout this morning that I want to go through right quick, but the prescription from the physician, and Christ is our great physician, the first one is to have proper priorities. Okay, you told us all about the possibility that we're not ready. Okay, I got that. Now, how do I fix that? Well, one of them is to have the proper priorities. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 40. Having the proper priorities. Brother Martin testified the other week, maybe it was Tuesday night, about one of your favorite scriptures, Matthew 6:33. Would you quote that for us? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The proper priorities. Amen. Luke 12, 31 through 40 says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, wouldn't it be a terrible place for us to go that, hey, there's going to be a rapture, praise God, and we need to be looking forward to it. There's a judgment coming. And, oh no, I can't be ready. Wouldn't that be a terrible place to end the thing? But here's what Jesus says. He says, "Fear not, little flock." Yes, there's a possibility, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me that's not ready for Him at His coming. He sent me this morning. He'll send the Holy Ghost later as you study and you pray about this. He sent our pastors to tell you things that, hey, you gotta be ready. There's a trumpet gonna sound. There's a judgment coming afterward. You must be ready, and you can be ready. Praise God. Because it's Christ saying, hey, it's my desire for this little flock to have the kingdom of God. I don't want to hold you back. I don't want to hold it back from you. I want you to have it. You can have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. Amen. It'd be a real bummer if that's where we stopped on the last point. But He's given us the prescription. And the first one is proper priorities. Sell that you have. Reading on, verse 33. And give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. We're talking about proper priorities. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. The Lord is going to gird himself. And make them to sit down to meat. And will come forth and serve them. Now listen, friend, that's a whole different picture than what we had just a few minutes ago. When the Lord, you were presented to the Lord, and what did he say? I never knew you. Depart from me. But for those that are watching, what's he going to do? It says he's going to gird himself and he's going to serve us. I want to be ready. And he shall come forth and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now listen, verse 40, be therefore ready also. Have your priorities right. Be ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Turn to, in your Bibles, to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We talked about having the proper priorities. We're going to see here now power through prayer. This is a 2 Chronicles 7:14. It should be a pretty familiar scripture. If you've been in church any time at all, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, the prescription, part of the prescription, one is having proper priorities. The next one is power through prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Amen. Power through prayer. Now, if you look in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, you're going to find a word that comes up 8 times in that book. 7 times in the first, or the second chapter and the third chapter. The word is overcometh, and it is powerful persistence. Powerful persistence. He that, chapter 2, verse 7, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that has powerful persistence, keep pressing on. If we're going to be ready and we're going to take the physician's prescription, we're going to need to have the proper priorities. We're going to be powerful in prayer and through prayer. We're going to have powerful persistence. We're going to overcome some things, fight until we see the win. Amen. Powerful persistence. Over and over again in these first 2 verses, he says this. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh. I think he wants us to get a grip on overcoming, being powerfully persistent. Don't give up the first time you get confronted. But pray through. Press through. Go on. Overcome. It's part of the prescription. If you look with me at our last scripture, it's in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. We had the physician's prescription were proper priorities, power through prayer, powerful persistence, And now, in these scriptures, we're going to find out one of the last things for his prescription. The physician's prescription. I counsel thee to buy gold, or buy of me gold tried in the fire. I'm sorry, verse 18 and 19. Revelation 3, 18 and 19. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Be passionate. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be passionate about your penitence. Be passionate. Lord, if I've offended you, remember when you first walked with the Lord? How you walked on eggshells, so afraid that you were going to mess up so bad. We need to have that same kind of passionate penitence, if you will, where we're not afraid of offending the Lord, but when I know I've done it, I've got to be passionate. I've got to want it right then. Call on Him to forgive me, to go on. I've got to be passionate. Not just ho-hum, here we go, whatever, you know. I'm saved and praise God, I send my way all to heaven. You've got to have a passionate penitence. I'm sorry, Lord. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's the prescription. If we do those things, when the Lord comes and that trumpet sounds, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Don't you want to be ready? Could you imagine what it'd be like for Him to say, go away, I never knew you. Oh my. He just sent me here to tell you today, it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. We can be ready should He come.